Let's start the bottom of Lamed Ben Amud Bet. The Mishnah mentioned Amudar Ma'achal Mechaveru, that the Mishnah drew a distinction between a Mudar Hano, someone who had restricted himself Hano from his family, versus someone who restricted himself from Ma'achal. In the case of Ma'achal, the Mishnah mentions that he's not only restricted in food, but he's also restricted in utensils used to make food. So the Gemara wants to know, how is that? So that's the beginning of Lamed Gimel Aleph. V'ha min ha'machal nadar. Why is he restricted in an afeh and a kvara, a rechaim and a tanur, if he only restricted himself in food? I mean, food is food. Why would you think anything else? Sarav Shem Lachslakish v'omer hanat ma'achalcha alai. Any hanah from your ochel is restricted to me. So the Gemara says, well, if you said hanat ma'achalcha alai, what's the... Again, we have to define what it means. He said something more than simply ochel, food. Right? So he said machalcha. So what would be the more expanded interpretation of machalcha? Emash loyal os chitim v'yitein al makato. Meaning that I won't get any benefit from your food, meaning not that I won't just eat your food, but I won't get any benefit from your food. That could mean that you shouldn't chew on the wheat kernels and place them on your wound. They saw that as some sort of cream or curative properties if they chewed on these wheat kernels and placed them on a wound. So therefore, when you say hanat makal chalai, that would only be expansive to the sense that it would include not only eating the food itself, but also getting benefit from the food in a different context than eating. And that would be, for instance, using it for medical purposes. So Amar Rava, v'omer hana'a hamevi lidei malchalcha alai. Any hana that brings me to your food is restricted to me. So therefore, anything that is used in the process of getting to food, meaning getting to your food, or making your food, will be restricted to me. So what's used in the process of making food? So those are the items that are mentioned in our Mishnah, Nafek, Kvara, Rechayim, Tanur, all these items. Plus, now the Gemara is going to query if it includes other things. Amar Papa, Sak, Lahavi, Peirot, V'chamor, Lahavi, Alav, Peirot. Right, so the Rav Papa suggests that when you restrict anything that brings your food, right, what else? That could be a sack, like a sack of some sort to feed the fruits in, or a chamor that carries the fruits. If I feel it's in a ba'alma or a basket. So, hana, hameviya, adli de ma'achalhu. So that, Rav Papa believes, is all included under hana, hameviya de ma'achal. So that not only is included the items that are mentioned in our Mishnah, but all so these items, which are all items that bring the food to him. Meaning bring the food, make the food more accessible, make the food available. So now, by Rav Papa, that was all of those items that we've seen so far are items that bring to the owner the food or help the food be processed by the owner. And therefore, they are considered or subsumed under the category of Hana mevi ali de machalcha alai. Whereas now, Rabbi Rapapa, he's going to ask about a different set of questions. Susler Kovalev, can you borrow a horse from this individual to ride on it? But where are you going? You're going to a Beit HaMishteh. You're going to some sort of simcha, and you're going to eat there. So do we consider that Hana mevi ali de machal? Because you're using his horse to get to a food opportunity.
Right? Rabbi's question was, Hana mevi ali de ma'achalcha.
Right.
If you're going to go to a mishteh that's someone else's food, well, would that be...
That's something that would bring him closer to food. So maybe it's even his own. I guess you could argue that it was his Beit HaMishteh. That's a good question. Let's see. Yeah, see, some of the Rishonim look in the Rosh says, Hana mevi ali de ma'achal alai. They don't have the possessive ma'achalcha. They use Hana mevi ali de ma'achal. So that would solve the problem, which would make sense, right? Good question. I think that's the right answer instead. The Girsa may not be mevi ali de ma'achalcha, but rather, the Ron also has it. Remember, Hana mevi ali de ma'achal alai. Right, so they all have that. The Girsa of ma'achal alai, not ma'achalcha alai. Okay? You know, so Rav Papa asked, what about a Suster Kovalev? Vitabat Lira Otba. Or he borrows some jewelry or a ring in order to be seen with his ring on it. Why would he be seen with his ring? So Rashi says, Kedei Shinagu Bo Kavod. Because they will, you know, treat him with more respect if he's got this jewelry on, and that's the Hanah. But other regions like the Rosh and the Ran over here mentioned, this is an interesting psychological phenomenon, says that Kideshi Yechabdua, they'll see him with a big ring, right? Hoshiflo Manot, and they'll give him more food. Mm-hmm. And that they'll see that he's an important person, or that he has this, you know, he's a wealthy individual, and therefore they will give him a larger portion or treat him in a way that he'll end up with more food. And again, that would make, in our context, it would make a little more sense that we're questioning whether an object that gives him access to food or more food, right, is that considered or subsumed under this category or this netta that he takes. And the last one is, what about Mitzaku Mezel Ba'are? He takes a shortcut through his property to get to a simcha, to get to a Beit HaMishneh. So all of these instances, the ones that Rapoport's asking about are basically what's called grumma. Right? They are allowing him to get food. They are not directly the result. As a result of them, you don't directly have food or produce food. But through these items, you now are closer to getting food or food is more accessible to you. So do we consider that hanah may be the day machal? Is that considered hanah that brings you towards food? Or when we say hanah may be the day machal, that means literally items that are used in the process of making food or bringing food accessible to the owner of that food, but not where his items bring you to other food.
Just going back to the previous question. The Gersa of Machal instead of Machal, but that doesn't make sense. If you're saying that he's then prohibiting himself from everybody's food, it still must mean that it was referring to a specific person. Because otherwise, he's going back with Eve. I mean, you know, obviously, right. It restricts all food.
No, but he's talking to this individual, Hana, from you, Hamevi Ali de Machal. That's all. He didn't say Machalcha to your food. He just said that your Hana is specifically
from you.
Right, exactly. The Hanoah is directed at that individual. Okay. So now the Gemara, so this is Rav Papa asked this question, my Tashma. Maybe we can solve that from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that he cannot borrow an Ofek Vara or Tanur Kirayim, but Ava Mashilo, he's allowed to borrow Chaluk V'Talit and Zamim V'Tabaot. Right? He's allowed to borrow all of these items. So, hey, Kidami, what are these items? If he's not going to wear them or go to a Beit HaMishneh with them, then what's the point of borrowing them? Right? Oh, Tzricha, the Meimar, you have to tell us that he can borrow his clothes? I mean, he only restricted Hanah, maybe Lidei Macha. These aren't even related to food. Why would it be restricted? Alav, Afilu Rotan, it sounds like Bar Mishnah, even if you're going to appear with these items, and they will somehow cause additional food to be brought to you. And Matani Mashilo, you're allowed to lend them to him. So one says no. The old Shabbali wrote, so now you say that's Pshito, that you can borrow these items. I did it Tani Rishu, Lo Yishalenu, because the first half of the Mishnah said, when he's Mudur Hanah, you cannot borrow these items. Tana Seifa Mashilo, therefore the Seifa it says you could borrow these items, or the ratio where it says Lo Yishalenu Nafek Baro Berechayim, but Mashilo. So it's just a parallel structure and not to come to teach you anything of significance. And therefore again, once again, in the Dharma, we're left with a bayo at the lo pshita, right? The ipshita, that a question or a query that was not answered. And therefore, we're going to go the chumra, right? We're going to go the chumra, like Rav Papa, and we have to be choshesh even for these items that cause a grama in this instance.
No, horses or jewelry.
That's right.
Or horse jewelry.
Right, whenever they, or if they, as long as they're, I mean, if they're giving you access to food. All right. Next, v'chol davar mishnah, v'chol davar she'ein osim bo uchal nefesh. So any item that you do not produce food with it, v'kom shekmaskirin kiyotze v'hen asur. In a place that they normally would rent these items out, I mean they won't lend them, then it's asur. Alright, michlal. So the Gemara says from this, the Reisha, in the Reisha, the first mishnah that we saw, apel pishein maskirin, even though they don't rent it out, it still would be restricted. Montano that says that even when there is no tangible hanah, that we say that that's a problem. This is the Rabbi Elazar that we spoke about yesterday, who says, Vitor, is asur b'anoach. That even when you give something that's a normal part of a transaction or a relationship, when, so for instance, if he lends it to, if you lend him an item, he could go borrow that from someone else, borrow from anybody. There's no monetary value associated with lending the item. There's no monetary item. There's a little bit of maybe tovas hanah, but a little bit of nicety being in the neighborhood. When you're restricted hanah, who's the one who says that that's considered enough hanah to restrict you? That is Rabbi Eliezer. And that was what we said in the Mishnah. We had said also about the first Mishnah, that right, this Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Eliezer. Whereas, in a place, makom shem maskirim, in a place where they do rent out the items, right, therefore you can't take them. That's even with someone who is mudar ma'achal, even from ochel, because he said it's hanam e via li de ma'achal, and therefore when you lend him the item without charging him the usual rental fees, right, that is, that money you can use to buy food with it. Since you can use the money to buy food with it, that is considered a problem. So again, the value that he is benefiting him will be restricted whether he takes mudar hanah or he takes a mudar ma'achal. Next case, this is a case we have together in Ksubos. We spent a bunch of time on it. It's not the easiest case to understand, but a very interesting case. Mudar hanah mechaveru, someone who is restricted hanah from his friend. Shokel lo et shiklo, he can pay his machzis shekel for him. Right? And upareya et chavo, this is the thing, the case that we saw in Ksubos, and he can pay off his loans for him. Umachzir lo et avedato, and he can return something that he lost. Makom shenotim aleschar, in a place where people pay for those who return an aveda. For instance, you put out a reward for someone who returns an aveda. Then, if he's mochel on that reward, he's giving him anah. So he can't be mochel on the reward. So what we say, you say tipel anah lehekdesh. Let the anah, that reward, go to hekdesh. But the return of the aveda is, right, mona mitzvah satorah. Number two is you're just being machzir to him. You're returning to him his own object. Doesn't belong to you. You're returning him his own item. So now the Gemara says, Alma, Avrucha Ari Balmahu, that repaying the loan for him is simply taking away the creditor, but not benefiting him.
Right, sorry. The distinction is the difference between preventing him from coming to harm,
right,
and actually giving him a more
tangible hana. Yeah, very good. So that's matana. Who's the tana that holds that when you simply prevent the or protect them from the creditors, that is considered hana, or that is right? Not that's what you're doing when you repay a loan. That is what you're doing. Amar Rav Oshia zu divrei chanani. This is divrei chanan. Remember what chanan we're going to see in a minute. But this is the case of chanan where the husband leaves his wife. And then this individual goes ahead and gives her food, mizonos, in the meantime. So that's what Hanan says, right? Heniach mamano al karnat tzvi. He basically threw his money away because the husband is under no obligation to repay him. So that's why they say he's the author of our Mishnah, because we see in a case where you went ahead and basically took care of the obligation of another individual. The husband is obligated to support the wife, give her mizonos. And you went ahead and fulfilled that obligation for him. You don't have any rights. The individual who did that doesn't have any rights to come and collect from you. The fact that he doesn't have any rights to come collect you, see, it shows you that you haven't provided him any tangible benefit. You've just prevented him from having this obligation. So, Hanan will be the author of our Mishnah here. So, Rava Amar Afilu Tema Divriyako. Even those that argue on Hanan, the Kohanim Gedolim that argued on Hanan, right, Gabe Murdarno, the Yahiv, is a case where Almanach Shalodifra. We had this also in the Ksubos a little bit, in a case where he gives it with a stipulation that the creditor will never bother him for the money. And it's an unlimited loan. There's no time limit to the loan. So therefore, he's under no pressure to pay it back, no obligation to pay it back. And therefore, the Chachamim would even agree, or the Kohanim Gedolim would even agree to Chanan in this case, that if you pay back the loan, you've done nothing for him, because he was under no obligation or pressures to pay back the loan. And therefore, by paying back the loan, you've just maybe taken away some kisufa, maybe taken away some embarrassment, then when he sees the creditor, but you haven't really given him any tangible benefit. If you remember there, in the Gemara, we talked about the idea that it was grama. And that was simply a go-rein, meaning that paying back the fact that you no longer are embarrassed. That was what Tosfos said over there, that if you're no longer embarrassed by the fact that you see the creditor, that's not a result of the, right, that's not the payment, but that's a result of the creditor no longer having to come and ask him for it. So you can get rid of that. One way to get rid of it is by not having him obligated, and that you did by paying it off, but you didn't, the payoff itself was not what generated the hana, right? That's what Tosfos there in the Gemara Ksubos differentiated between direct benefit where you're paying something to him or giving him a tangible benefit versus something where there's a groma through what you did, right? The result of your action is that he no longer has this embarrassment. That is not considered directed hana. So Tosfos said over there, Rashi says, and Rashi quoted it's quoted by the Rosh over here, and we'll see it in a second in Hanan's opinion. Rashi over there said that the issue was that since, if you went ahead and paid off the loan for him, he owes money to a creditor, and you go pay off the loan for him, you can't become his creditor. I mean, he has no obligation to you. If you went ahead and said, you know what, I feel bad for this guy, I'll become his creditor. The other creditor has been mean to him, I'm going to pay his loan off, and then he'll owe me the money. So the guy would say, local Emenu. I mean, I don't owe you any money. You went and paid him off. I didn't tell you to do it. I didn't send you to do this. So the fact that you don't owe him money, meaning that when a person goes ahead and pays off a loan in such a manner, you do not owe him money. Therefore, he's not providing you an enough by paying off the loan. That's very rational, right? Because there would be no obligation to repay him if he did it without your consent. Therefore, when he does it without your consent, there is no benefit. That's the way Rashi learns, and the Rosh quotes Rashi over here with the Rechanan, and we're going to see right now. So my Hanan, what is Hanan? It's not. We have the Mishnah from Ksubos. Mishalach the Medinat Hayam. Right, a person who left for Medinat Hayam. Ba'amad Echad Upiners Et Ishto. And a person got up and supported his wife. Hanan Amar Ibid Et Ma'otav. He lost his money. Nechuku Allah B'nei Kwanim Gdolim. The other opinion, Barmu Yishava Kama Hutsi. He takes a Shuvah Ha'amad Shipeder V'yito. And he will collect on it. Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Hercules Kedivrehem, like the Kohanim Gedolim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Yochai Amar Hanan. Hanan makes a lot of sense. The Eniach Malatav al Karen Hatzvi. This guy basically forfeited his money, put his money out in Hefker. Rava Lo Amar Ravoshia. So Rava didn't explain Ravoshia, meaning that he explained it even according to Kohanim Gedolim, the Kamokum Lo Masis and Kedivre Yaakov. But therefore our Mishnah could be both according to Hanan and according to the Kohanim Gedolim. But Ravoshia Lo Amar Ravo. Why didn't Ravoshia say like Rava? Meaning establish our Mishnah to be a case where the creditor gave him unlimited amount of time to pay back. So Rava says that the Kohanim Gedolim, I believe, that they wouldn't agree in that case. Even in a case where it's unlimited time to pay back, they would still not let him pay it back because it's a very specific, unique case where we would say that you're not obligated or you're not getting hana from it. But, right, in a normal case, you would be getting hana if you paid it back. And we're not going to let you pay back in this one unique case. That's why people think in general you could pay back loans and that wouldn't be preventing any hana. That's why Rava set it up to be like Hanan. Right, so that's the conclusion of the Gemara, if you remember again from the Gemara Ksubos, again the idea that paying off the loan is not a hana to the individual. Again, one position we had was Rashi's position, which Gemara Ksubos we added, Rashi quotes it over here. Can we just explain that Rashi believes since he can't take over being your creditor against your will, meaning that even if he wanted to become your creditor and he's not really forgiving the loan, therefore he has no ability to do that. Therefore, when he forgives the loan, he hasn't done anything because he's really not your creditor. Right? If he paid off the loan and said, now you owe me the money, you'd say, sorry, I don't owe you the money. Who gave you a right to come in and pay this? And who? All these expressions that it's none of your business. So what are you doing here? So then if he goes and forgives the loan, he hasn't done anything because he had no right to collect the loan to start with. Right, so that's the way Rashi learns it. Tosfos, remember from the Gemara in Suba, suggests that it's a question of whether there's directed hana or groma. Right, that even though, again, there the Gemara talked about kisufa, embarrassment. Even though, meaning that since he paid off the creditor, it was an unlimited creditor situation. Even though there was no directed Hana because he could have paid forever, but nevertheless it was embarrassment. Whereas Kisufa is not being sufficient, right? Hana. And why was it? And that's what Tosus explained over there. That there's a difference between direct Hana or tangible Hana, where the money that you pay gives the Hana, versus where the money you pay results in something else that is, right, therefore a benefit to you. And that's called Groma. And Groma in that case would not be subsumed under this.
That's why our Gemara doesn't quote that reason for Rav Hoshea, but says it's a Xera, that there goes there, that type of repaying, you know, lest he then come to repay a debt that really is, that has to be collected by a certain time.
Right.
Because the Gemara over there did say the reason of Kisufa.
Yeah, the Gemara doesn't.
Here, the Gemara just doesn't even.
Yeah, the Gemara doesn't bring it here. No. All right, so now...
There are the previous mission of this mission, you just said, it seems like more Hana, borrowing a horse from somebody, to get to a bank loan, or having somebody pay your loan back for you. It pressures you with things, having someone pay your loan back for you.
But those are two different Nedarim, right? Over here, he's Asher B'Hana, and over there, he's only Asher B'Hana, maybe the Machra, right? So that's not... If he was Asher B'Hana, also the Sus would be restricted into... All right, so that's the Gemara. Just the Ran here debates, brings down a Rashba and discusses the issue of whether when the person gives food to the woman, right, in which instance does he not have to pay her back? If he goes ahead, the Rashba says, if he specifically states that I'm giving you the food for this money for food, your husband's obligation, then he's not obligated to pay her back. Because
it doesn't say that, it's like he's giving her a loan, which he can expect to be repaid.
Oh, so very good. So that's what the Rashba says, and Rashba says it over there. They're right. The expectation would be that if he specifically directs it for the food, then the husband could say she would have been mistapik mamua, she would have eaten less, she would have used her maisi yadayim, the fact that you paid her, that really isn't any benefit to me, I have no interest in paying you back. Whereas if he simply lends the money to her, then he just goes ahead and goes and collects from the woman. And when he goes to collect from the woman will go back to her husband and collect from him. So that's what the Rashba says. The Ran disagrees and says no. That even in an instance where you simply give the money to the woman and you don't specifically state it's for food, right, that is not, we don't consider that to be a loan, but rather consider it to be payment for, right, payment for the food. Why is that? So this is a very interesting Ran. Six lines down in the Ran, the widest lines of the Ran. Six lines down in the widest lines of the Ran. Says Ve'inam Mechuvarim. It's towards the beginning of the line. It's like the third one on the line. Ve'inam Mechuvarim Ladati. That which the rest of it doesn't make sense. Tehihani the Mukhe, the Mahanet Havero Stam. The person gives the person a benefit in general. This is what the Ran says. In general, he quoted Gemara's above this that showed this, that when you give somebody a gift, in general, it's not a gift. I mean, if you help someone out, your expectation is to get repaid for it, not to simply give them a gift. Even if you don't mention it specifically for food, you lost your money, Mishum. He's not giving it as a gift. The only reason he's giving money is because he's assuming the husband's going to repay him. So, all right, he knows he doesn't want to give a gift. He doesn't give away gifts. He doesn't give away money for free. When he gives out money, the assumption is that you're going to pay him back. But in this instance, what's the assumption? That the husband's going to take care of it. Right? The lava died to Dido, and not because of her. His assumption, she knows she doesn't have any money. So he's not giving her the money on the assumption that she's borrowing the money and then she's going to go get it from her husband. His assumption is that the husband's going to repay him. If she had money, she would have bought her own food. The fact is that he's giving her money is because she has no money. And he is assuming he's going to get it back from the husband. Hello, Masika Date Lomar. And he won't think to say, it's you're obligated to pay them back, because then she could collect from her husband and she could get the money back. Meaning that if he would specifically say it's a loan to you, then, or if he would have in mind that it's a loan, he would be able to get the money back. But here he didn't say anything, he gave the money. What's the assumption? What do we think he has in mind when he gives the money? This woman has no money. So we're thinking his assumption is not to give her a gift, but his assumption is that the husband will repay him. If he thinks that, and listen to this line in the Ran, the lav kula inche dina gemire, not everybody knows halacha so well. You know, if you were a bucky in halakha, you'd know to lend the money to her specifically, because then she can, right, then you have an obligation from her, and that obligation can be placed onto her husband. But if you simply give her the money with the assumption that the husband's going to pay back, then you have no entitlement to get the money, because then you're paying off his obligation, and then he has no obligation to pay you. Right, so that's a great line in the Ron, that our assumption is that people aren't so smart to know the halakha to give it in that specific manner where he will get repaid. And so he gives it the way that most people would give it. And what's that? To pay back, assuming that the husband's going to repay you for doing this good deed for him.
So even going to the Ron, if he gives it to her and he says specifically to her, this is a loan to you.
Yeah, then he's okay.
We had something like this. Right. When the rabbi said, like, give good advice. My family member.
Oh, there, right. We had a couple of times in the Gemara Ksubos that
do the same transaction.
Who was a bucky in Hilchos Mamonos, he helped out his thing. He was helping out his family and giving them advice about what taina to make.
Then he thought
that they did it. Right, afterwards. Mm-hmm. That's right. All right, so now the Inei Halacha, so we just skip one line down in the round at the end of the line, it says, in the Inei Halacha, Kaimalon Tichanan. We hold Paschal Maichanan. Hilchach, Barea Chobosh, Rachavero, and Yech Motava, Karnatvi. So I'm going to repay someone else's loan. It's a gift. A gift in the sense that you're not getting repaid, number one. And number two is it's not a gift. Even in a case where there is a time limit to how much money you have to pay back, right? Because there are a couple of possibilities, because he could say, I would have been able to fight him, I could talk him out of it. He could say that I would have talked to creditors, extending me the credit line a little longer. I would have paid him a little, and he would have let me have the loan for longer. It happens today all the time. You have debt, and people want to change the covenants or change the time period. They pay some remuneration, and then they extend the loan. So he says, I could have done that. The fact that you paid off the loan hasn't really helped me, and therefore, you know, I don't owe you any money, and that will not be considered getting hanah from it, right? With regards to being Shokel Shiklo, which we mentioned in the Mishnah, which the Mishnah just kind of skips over here, but how can you pay off his Machatis HaShekel? So the Rishonim, one way to group is that even if you don't pay your Machatis HaShekel, you have a Chelik in the Karbanos HaTzibur. So paying the Machatis HaShekel is not something that's really giving you Hanah in the sense, because you are already have a Chelik in the Karbanos. What are you doing? You're being Maviyah Hari. The basin might come and take a mash from you, collect from you, but you're not blocked from the Karbanos HaTzibur. So it's again, you're paying off a creditor, you're paying off an obligation that you would have otherwise had. I just want to look at others, suggest that the possibility here is that he... Right, very good. That it was after he was sent it, and it was nignav ne'abad, it was stolen or lost, and they already took off the Trumas HaLishka, so he's not even obligated to pay it anymore. Since he's not obligated to pay that money, because in that instance, it's a hektesh's problem. So in that instance, you wouldn't have to pay it, and he went ahead and paid it for you anyway. Even though that's the... even though that's the normal thing, that culturally, or everybody would pay it. Even in that instance, they would pay the shekel, and he goes ahead, but since he's not obligated to pay it, that would be... Okay. Now, last case, Max Shilowitz Avedato. So that happens to be a very, very famous one in the Gemara called Pruta de Rav Yosef. It shows up in many places in Chas. Shruos, Baba Kamel, Baba Metzia. So... Pligi bar Rabbi Ami bar Rabbi Asi. Chad amar lo shana lo shenichse maksir asurim al bal haveda. Right, in the case where the nechassim of the returner, the person who found the aveda, his stuff is also to the person who lost an item. Dimechaderle, when he returns it to him, midam denashik maderle. He's not giving anything of his own to the guy. He's just returning him his own right object. So let's call it, we'll call it Reuven and Shimon. Okay, in this case, Reuven lost something, and Shimon finds it. Shimon, all of his possessions are usher to Reuven. So can Shimon return the Aveda to Reuven? Everybody agrees yes. Why? Because he's just returning Reuven's object to himself. He's not giving anything of Shimon's items to Reuven, he's giving Reuven his own item back. Aval, nixe bal Aveda asurima maksir. But if the nechassim of Reuven are restricted to Shimon, and now Shimon's returning Reuven's object, loka mahadrele, he cannot return it. Why? To kind of lay pruta to Rav Yosef. He's getting the benefit of pruta to Rav Yosef. What is pruta to Rav Yosef? My focus in Bamatsiya about a Shomer Aveda. Say you find something in the street and now you want to return it, but you don't know who it belongs to. So in the meantime, or in the interim, you take it into your house, right, to watch it, to take care of it until you find the rightful owner. What is your status when you are watching over this item? Meaning, are you a Shomer Sachar or are you a Shomer Chinam? Machlokas between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Rabba says you're a Shomer Chinam because what benefit are you getting? You're doing this guy all Tova. You're not getting paid for watching the item. So you are a Shomer Chinam, and therefore you will be Potter for Kenevan Aveda, right? You'll be Potter in Ones. Whereas Rabbi Yosef believes you are a Shomer Sachar. So then you would be chayving Gneva Aveda, even though you're Potter in Ones, you'd be chayving Gneva Aveda. Why are you a Shomer Sachar? Why are you considered a paid watchman? So that Rabbi Yosef claims is because of Pruta de Rabbi Yosef. What's Pruta de Rabbi Yosef? Pruta de Rabbi Yosef comes from Ha'osif the Mitzvah, Potter Mina Mitzvah. So when you are doing the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, you are now, what, Potter from other mitzvahs. What mitzvah is that? The mitzvah is, for instance, if an ani comes knocking on your door looking for a pruta, this is what pruta Rav Yossi comes from, you don't have to go out and give him that pruta of tzedaka. Why? Because you're osek the mitzvah of Hashavas Haveda. So famous, the Rishonim over there all speak about this, you know, Tosfos brings it down, and Shavuos and other places. So what? I have a mezuzah on my door every day, I'm now osek the mitzvah, hotter mina mitzvah. So how could it be that Hashavas Haveda? What am I doing? Aveda just sits in my house. What am I doing? How do you consider that osek the mitzvah, hotter in a mitzvah? Right? Then you could say, I have a mezuzah on my door, I have, you know, any mitzvah that is tmidit, that's always going on, I can claim I'm wearing tzitzis, I don't have to be osek in another mitzvah. We never say that. We don't say osek the mitzvah, hotter in a mitzvah. Oh, excellent, excellent. So that's the Tosfos agree, but that it's a time when you're active with the Aveda. What's that? For instance, if it's a sheet or some a piece of clothing. So if you have it for a while, you need to shake it out every once in a while, you have to, or like you're saying, bringing it to the house, or you're taking it out. And when you're osuk by the Aveda, that's what we're talking about. That another Rabbi Yosef is the case where you are osuk in the Aveda, then we say Putu Rabbi Yosef has relevance. And with that Putu Rabbi Yosef, that's the schar that you get, you become a Shomer Sachar, according to Rabbi Yosef. Now, that's going to present us a problem over here as well, which is that if you are returning the Aveda, Shimon is returning the Aveda to Reuven, and Reuven's stuff is usher to him, right? Now, Shimon is actually getting benefit from the Aveda. What is that? He's getting the benefit of Pruta to Rabbi Yosef. Because in the process of returning it to Reuven, he'll now be Potter from giving a Pruta to an Ani. In that process, during that process, he gets benefit. That's he's getting Hanoah from Reuven's stuff. Right? Since he's getting burned off from Reuven's stuff, he will not be able to return it, according to Rav Ami or Rashi, whichever, whoever is the author of this side of the opinion. And therefore, he'll be restricted from returning it. V'chad amar, afil nichse bala veda surim al machse, even if Reuven's objects are also to Shimon, he can still return it. Mahadalei, what about Pruta de Rav Yosef? He says, v'shum Pruta de Rav Yosef l'shchiach. That's not a meaning that you have to have the Pruta Rav Yosef is a very unique case, because as we're saying, we narrow the case down. It has to be a case when you're Asuk B'Aveda, right? So that's one. And number two is, it has to be at the time you're Asuk B'Aveda, an Ani shows up. Meaning that small, narrow case of, we're not going to be, right? We're not going to be worrying about Pruta de Rav Yosef in this instance, and therefore when you give it back, we're not going to assume that you're getting Hanoah by giving it back, because you get protected from giving a Pruta to Rav Yosef. Alright, we'll stop here, and we'll continue tomorrow.